Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the TakeCast. My name is Davis Matic. You guys can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. In this episode of the show, Peter Overzet and I bring back our buddy, Patrick Laird. And gotta be clear, this was Patrick's idea. He wanted us to help him draft a fantasy football team with his buddies from college. Of course, we drafted a phenomenal team. We did a zero RB draft with an NFL running back. And though I will admit, we do stray away a little bit from the zero RB principles. I thought it was a very entertaining show. I think that you guys will really like it. If you want to watch the video of this draft is up on Peter's YouTube channel. Of course, if you want to support the show, you can leave a rating or review on iTunes, and you can also subscribe to the TakeCast Patreon, patreon.com/TakeCast. All of that's very useful. All of that's very helpful. I think that you guys will really enjoy the show. Obviously, every time Pat comes on, it is it's a very good time. He's a very funny, very interesting, very intelligent guy. And then, you know, Pete's not so bad either. Let's go ahead and get into the welcoming into the show. Of course, Brother Laird, Brother Pete, we are here. And let everyone know this. I kind of get this vibe, Pete, that some people on Twitter think that we bother Pat, that we're like in Pat's DMs, just like bothering him and coming to him with content ideas. But that is not the case here. This was Laird's idea. Laird wants us to draft his fantasy football team with him tonight against, I guess this is like your college and high school buddies, Pat.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the credit for this one. This was my idea.
It was.
And yeah, this is from a group of friends basically from college and back in California. Kind of a fun way for us to just stay in touch. And some of them are actually into fantasy, so I'm kind of curious to see you guys break down their strategies and all that. And then some of us are just doing it for fun. So
some of us play in the league.
Some of us are professional football players.
I was going to say, to piggyback off of Davis's point, that sentiment he's describing is definitely true. Everyone thinks that we're badgering you all the time. And the truth is, I was just trying to have a leisurely Memorial Day or Labor Day weekend at the beach. And Laird's like, come draft, man, come draft. And I was like, all right, fine. But you did have to twist my arm.
Yeah.
Just a long weekend of drafts. My fingers are so nimble, Pete, from all of the drafts I have done. It's getting a little absurd at this point. This is probably like my 37th draft of Labor Day weekend or something absurd.
Well, first of all, I want to hear about the past few weeks at training camp, but when do you guys head to, you guys are at New England, right?
Yeah. And we'll probably fly out Saturday.
Okay. Yeah. And how have the past few weeks been for you leading up to the final cut date yesterday? What's things been like in the Laird household?
I mean, it's been good. I mean, so my girlfriend was able to move out to Florida with me, with my dog, Teddy. You guys met Teddy. He's actually on my feet right now, asleep. But she's in law school right now. And she found out just like 2 months ago that she was going to be all online. So she was able to move out here. And so it's been pretty nice to have her out here in Florida and the dog. And then training camp has just kept me super busy. And as I'm sure everyone's read, it's a little bit different this year with everything. But honestly, everyone got pretty used to it a week in. And I think the protocols that they put in place were really solid. And so everyone on my team has stayed healthy pretty much so far. And we're hoping as the traveling starts that, you know, people will continue to stay healthy during the season.
So on Saturday, it's cut day. Are you sweating it at all? Are you checking your phone, or had you had conversations with, you know, whoever? Like, you know, I feel pretty good.
Yeah, I was nervous, and I'm still nervous. You know, there's transactions in place. But you honestly can ask anyone in the NFL, like 8-year veterans, first year players, like every year you're kind of battling for a spot. Obviously there's the select few guys that have a pretty good standing with the team. So, but honestly, like anything can change at any moment. You know, you can be, there's a lot of great players, but there just happens to be, you know, someone on a different team that the organization thinks might be a better fit. And so, you know, it's a business too. So they're always just trying to make the best business decision. even though, you know, if you're a great guy or whatever it is. So, yes, a little nervous, but it's kind of like that every week, honestly. So you just have to keep, you know, putting your head down and, you know, working and kind of carving out your role each week.
Do does everyone get a call at the cut deadline, or is it a no news is good news situation?
It's a no news is good. Well, it depends on the team. But what I've learned the past 2 years is a no news is good news situation, which I didn't know last year. And I'm just
so you were sweating super hard last year.
Yeah, last year was a little different. I was just like, I did not know what to expect. I'm like looking at my phone every 30 minutes. But yeah, I just didn't get a phone call last year, and then this year didn't get one either. So
I love how Pat's way of describing anxiety is looking at his phone every 30 minutes. When Peter and I on Saturday were like badgering Miami Dolphins beat reporters. I don't know if you know this, Pat. The Miami Dolphins were the very last team to turn their roster in. Every other team had turned their roster in, and it was 45 minutes after, and the Dolphins had still not announced what their final cuts were. So Pete and I were like nervous soccer moms for those 45 minutes trying to figure out what the Dolphins were doing.
You guys could have just texted me and asked. I could have given you guys where I was at. But
well, it was, you know, Davis and I, we have been drafting Lynn Bowden in some of our deep leagues, and he's a guy that is pretty exciting and pretty versatile. So that trade, we weren't sure how that shook up things for the Dolphins, but then it sounds like for everything they're saying is that they're pretty excited about him as a wide receiver.
Yeah, and I just met him today. He's just, you know, being shown around the facility and everything. He had to go through all the protocol when he came out here. But yeah, no, I've heard a lot of good things about him as a playmaker, so it'll be interesting to see how we use him.
Nice.
What's Malcolm Perry been like at camp? That was the dude who all the beat writers, right? Like all the guys who cover the Dolphins professionally, that was like their pet story this year was Malcolm Perry, the converted college quarterback.
Yeah. Malcolm's awesome. You know, obviously if you've seen his highlights, he's very shifty and can do a lot of different things. And then any person that graduates from the Navy, I think I said that like a month ago or 2 months ago when we had our last podcast, I mentioned just the character of the type of person to graduate from the Navy. It's kind of, you know, proved true. He's just like kind of a high character guy, hard worker, and then obviously can make plays. It was actually funny. We were in the running back room because I think he was just listed today as a wide receiver slash running back.
Yeah.
And so he's been more in the wide receiver room, and we were just talking in the running back room, and my coach was like, you know, he rushed for like 1,700 yards like last year at college, and we're like, what? No way. And he's like, yeah. And we're like, no way he rushed for that many. And then he looks it up. He's rushed for over 2,000 yards.
He led college football in rushing.
Yeah. Oh, really? I did not know that. Yeah, okay. So then we're like, what, over 2,000 yards? And then we see versus Army, he had a 300-yard rushing game. And we're just like, this is absurd.
The quarterback he took over from has the NCAA record for most touchdowns scored in college football ever. Those Navy quarterbacks do not play around.
No, they don't. And then I asked Malcolm about that game, and I was like, how did you have 300 yards rushing? And he goes, you know how many times I threw the ball? I said, how many? He goes, once. It was a trick play.
That's funny. Yeah. And what's the you know, we were talking with you a little bit. How's your shoulder feeling? Because you missed a couple days, but are you back to full strength?
Yeah. I kind of banged up my shoulder just in, you know, one of our team periods. And they wanted to – you know, be safe, but I was pretty good after a few days, and now I'm full go. I've been full go for probably a week now, and so yeah, feeling a lot better. So I should be good. You know, for the upcoming season, I don't think it'll be like a lingering thing.
So are we gonna pester him for fantasy football nuggets about the Dolphins? But are you gonna give us any answers?
I don't know if like if I can even provide better information than you guys already have.
Like, you can
advanced statistics, and I don't know what's important and what's not. I'm still confused by this zero RB.
So are a lot of people, Patrick.
A lot of people are.
So are a lot of people.
Okay, this is the
one. Is that a strategy, or is that like a certain league? I don't understand what it is.
It's a strategy, and you're going to find a lot about it over the next 2 hours as we draft this team.
So then when we were texting a couple days ago talking about, because I have the first pick, maybe we should give context to everyone. I have the first pick coming up here in about 6 minutes. You guys recommended I draft a running back.
It's curious how we love your RB and yet ask you to draft a running back, isn't it, Pat?
Yeah, so I'm confused.
I'll let you take this, Pete.
We're coming after a draft season. Pat, you've seen it, just us battling about this strategy. Basically, the overall premise is, you know, running backs are a more volatile position when it comes to injuries and scoring. And so the idea is to draft pass catchers, wide receivers, tight ends early, and then draft running backs late, so that when an undrafted free agent like Patrick Laird toward the end of the season comes into the game, you're getting running back points and you have all of these other wide receivers and tight ends there early. That said, there's some of these running backs like Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley who are basically running backs slash wide receivers who score so many points that even the zero RB drafters know you must take these running backs.
Okay, I'll buy it.
So that said, though, you were telling Davis and I, you know, we kind of told you the unanimous 101 is Christian McCaffrey, but you were giving us a little pushback.
Yeah, a couple reasons. One reason, obviously, you know, he went to Stanford, and it's very hard for me to take a Stanford guy number one overall. Even though Christian's a nice guy, I actually met him over the Super Bowl week this past season or this past year. No, yeah, this year. He's a super nice guy, but, you know, it's just hard for a Cal guy like myself to take a Stanford guy. And then the second thing, getting away from the emotional part of the picking, is I had to school you guys about the regression to the mean phenomenon that we see in statistics.
We did. We got school.
I'm thinking, you know, I hope he has a great season, but, you know, what are the chances that – he scores as many fantasy points as he did last year. Honestly, I'm kind of talking out of my backside right now. I thought it was a good thought.
I was just going to say, Pat, you just mentioned zero RB and regression to the mean. You are like 90% toward being a fantasy analyst after those two statements.
You're better than a lot of fantasy analysts that we know, actually, just by understanding the concept of regression to the mean and how it actually works. You get it a little bit better. So, I mean, I'm cool taking part.
Daniel Kahneman. I think we probably talked about him before on the podcast.
What is your thought about Barkley? The game we came and watched you in, you guys played the Giants. Barkley had a big game there. How do you feel about him as a potential add to your team?
If you guys think that's the best, the next best choice, I'm all good for selecting Barkley number one.
Where do you think you go in this draft, Pat? Where does Patrick Laird get selected in this draft?
My friends try to convince me to pick myself first overall. I didn't fall into that trap.
No, we're winning this league, so we can take you in like the fourth round.
I say we just don't. I don't think any of my friends are going to think it's funny enough to draft me, so I'm sure we should pick me up off of whatever you call it, like waivers or something. Like just
that's
the pool of players at the end.
The a term that Davis and I have started using this off season is bit equity, and just talking about the bit equity. So you're making it sound like your friends aren't getting enough bit equity out of drafting you.
Yeah, there's no bit equity to take Laird in the fourth.
Oh, so you got your podcast bits?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Literally, exactly. Yeah. Like you have to weigh the plus and minuses of how profitable a transaction is versus how hilarious it is, or. Like how cool it will make you look at the end of the season if it works out.
So I did that in college, actually, because we started kind of doing this league. I don't know. Yeah, you can see it says Ward family. So we a lot of the guys, not everyone in this group, lived at this house in Berkeley on Ward Street. And I don't know if I want to give away too much information about everyone, but anyways, we do this draft and I'm like, I didn't really care about fantasy. And so like I drafted like Randy Moss as a joke or something. Cause like he was in the, I don't know, like the pool of players or some old player.
He was still in the player pool.
Yeah. And then, like, at the end of the season, I lost. I got last place. Like, all right, so you have to take out the trash for all of next semester. And I was like, what? Like, I didn't know that was a part of this whole league. And they're like, yeah, it was in the text chain or something like that. So ever since then, I don't know. I just
– I love that. What motivates Patrick?
Making jokes in my picks. I don't know if I want to go there. Even though with this league, we're not even playing for money. It's just for fun, so –
Yeah, most people, there's like a prize for you. There's like downside risk of like, I'm worried I'm going to have to do extra chores if I get in last place.
What's the best day of the year? Draft day.
You hear that?
Yeah. That's our pal Matthew Berry right there.
There we go. So we're taking Saquon. Drafted. You drafted Saquon Barkley.
You know what I love about that? I thought maybe Patrick was going to open it back up once more. Like, wait, should I do it? And he's just like, no, I'm not taking C-Mac. I love it. Or let's see if your draft mates are shocked by this decision. Do they know about this podcast?
Oh, yeah. So we didn't have enough time to even explain all the context of this. Okay, so this is a league playing for fun with my buddies. We did a random organizer to see who goes first. And it's one PPR league, I think. Snake draft. And what was the other part we're just going to talk about? Oh, yeah, my friends don't know that you're helping me. Yeah.
Do you think they'll be pissed off?
Maybe a little bit.
But this is making, you know, they did the trash can penalty on you, and this is finally you getting your revenge.
That is true. Yeah. I don't think they're going to be that mad. I'm just, like, trying to, I don't know, be cognizant of, like, they might feel like I have an unfair advantage if – I'm helping, like, professional fantasy guys help me out, but I don't think
all of Pete and I's content are free on the internet. So if they wanted to do the homework, they could have done it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we took Saquon first. They did Christian McCaffrey. Okay. These first four picks.
These are pretty standard, very standard start to a draft.
So no one's reading up on the zero RB thing. It's been all running backs.
Everyone,
the line for zero RB, it's going to come when Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire have gone off the board. And then if people start taking Josh Jacobs and Nick Chubb in the first round, then we'll know that they haven't been reading.
The real differentiation is the running backs you know are going to catch passes. And some of the backs that don't traditionally catch passes, you know, they're more vulnerable to negative game scripts. You know, say Nick Chubb, if the Browns are down, Kareem Hunt might just come in and be on the field the whole second half. Whereas if the Panthers are down, Christian McCaffrey is going to be on the field no matter what, catching passes. So those guys at the top kind of insulate you from game script, where people sometimes are clutching their rosary beads, as I like to say to Davis, and just praying that some of these backs will all of a sudden start catching passes, even though the data doesn't necessarily reflect that.
Gotcha. So it's like zero RBs, asterisks, like a couple exceptions.
We call it modified zero RB and the modification is if the running back catches passes, then he's probably okay. That's sort of the thing there. There's basically in the corners of the internet where Pete and I live, there's basically been a holy war going on for the last week and a half about Leonard Fournette after he got cut and then signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, there's been some real vitriol out there on Leonard Fournette.
What are the two sides?
You know, there are the people like Pete and I that are like, you know what? If the guy got cut by a bad team in the Jaguars, or a team expected to not win that many games, probably he's not going to go into Tampa Bay and be an amazing starting running back right away. And then the other people are like, nope, you know, Ronald Jones is a thing of the past. LeSean McCoy, doesn't matter. And Leonard Fournette's going to get 20 touches a game.
Maybe it's just running back by committee. Everybody wins.
I mean, that's sort of what I would expect. Is that Ronald Jones and Fournette and McCoy all play?
But I guess in fantasy football's world's minds, or people's minds, running back by committee is like, those are the loser running backs, right?
Maybe not losers.
No, it,
it all comes back to that idea of like who's getting the valuable touches. So the two things that are super valuable are catching passes, like in this PPR league, and then getting, you know, goal line carries and red zone touches. So, you know, you can draft guys, and almost every team has some kind of committee outside of a few where they play their running backs 95% of the snap. So it's then just targeting the running backs that are getting the high value touches, as opposed to kind of the empty calorie touches that don't lead to as many fantasy points.
Gotcha. So this has been like all running backs.
So we have someone in your league who's clutching their rosary beads. They took Josh Jacobs with the 9th overall pick. Then Kenyon Drake went with the 10th overall pick. Whereas Pete and I would probably start thinking about Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill with those selections, most likely.
Okay. I think we're coming up. Who are we going to select? Oh, no, it's Snake. Never mind.
Yeah, we're all the way back around.
Okay.
So another kind of, you know, when you get Christian McCaffrey, you know, Davis and I are definitely going to be pro waiting on running back in a PPR league. The other kind of decision is how do you handle tight end? And there's a couple big dog tight ends at the top, Kelce, Kittle. Davis and I really like Mark Andrews. Some people still have Zach Ertz as part of that. But, you know, with this team, you're really trying to build out, you know, a starting lineup with the most firepower. So getting one of those top tight ends is a really good way to do that. So it'll be interesting to see if maybe Kittle or Kelce would make it back to the end of the second round.
Is that pretty standard to do, you know, running back, tight end, or what do most people do?
Most people want to start running back. Like 80% of people you talk to will be like, I want to start my draft with two running backs, and then a lot of different opinions from there, but that's what a lot of people want to do.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's just kind of the basic strategies there. So Aaron Jones going very early. Aaron Jones going ahead of Devontae Adams. I've done a lot of drafts. I don't know how often I've seen Aaron Jones go ahead of Devontae Adams. Pete, that seems out there.
Yeah, that is out there. I would say one of the other things, Patrick, is you basically just kind of have to look in the mirror and say, am I an ideological drafter? You know, do you want to make a statement with how you draft this team? Or are you just going to go value-based drafting? Whoever's in the top of the applet, I'll just grab them. That's really what this comes down to.
I don't even know if I'm like able to make an ideological draft pick. my first pick, I'm on board with the zero RBs. I think ever since I heard about zero RBs, I've been a fan of it. So I know, obviously, with my first pick, I contradicted that, but from now on, zero RBs until
you didn't really contradict it though. Like, yeah, like you,
it is curious. You love this zero RB strategy, and yet you took a running back. It's very curious, Patrick.
Yeah, but from now on,
curious to be a zero RB truther, and yet you play running back in the NFL. How interesting.
We have one tight end off the board.
Okay, Kelce goes. That makes sense here. So you are what, two picks away?
Yeah.
I would say, and I bet Davis agrees with me, if George Kittle's here, we should definitely take him with one of our picks. Oh,
he just got drafted. So I think that we should take Kenny Galladay and DJ Moore.
I'm an Evans and DJ Moore, but it sounds like both Davis and I agree on DJ Moore. And then Patrick, you should decide who you want between Evans and Galladay.
Okay. We're gonna go with DJ Moore. I don't know why we like that pick, but so Evans, Galladay, why is it just between those two? There's not another tight end we like?
So there is, but I think we might be able to wait. Or David,
we can wait.
Do you think we can get Andrews in the fourth?
I think we can wait on Mark Andrews or Zach Ertz, or maybe we wait for Pat's teammate a little bit later.
Both Evans and Galladay are what Davis and I call grown ass men. They're going to catch a lot of touchdown passes in solid offenses that are going to pass a lot. I slightly prefer Evans. Davis slightly prefers Galladay, but they're both really good picks.
I'm going to go with Mike Evans. Sorry, Davis.
Oh, owned.
You, Davis is owned. Patrick subscribes to Peter's School of Fantasy, $9.99 a month.
So
I like Evans. happens just because I've seen him. I've seen him in person, and he's a beast, as you guys said.
There we go. I mean, that ever since I've seen Devontae Parker at the Giants game when we came to come watch you, I have fully been converted to the Devontae Parker is a grown ass man school. So I get it. It really lasts with you.
I can confirm that.
Do you guys play the Bucks this year?
No, we don't. But we practiced with them last year because we did a preseason game with them. Actually, no. Wait. Do we? I shouldn't speak too early. No, I don't think. We might actually. I already know the first game. We play the Patriots first.
Buccaneers versus Dolphins 2020. Don't think you guys play.
No. We play the Jaguars. That's what I was thinking of.
So do you know Ronald Jones? The important question. Have you spoken words with Ronald Jones?
No. He went to SC though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I haven't spoken with him.
Do you remember playing against Laviska Shenault your final year at Cal when you played against Colorado?
No. What is he on defense?
No, he is. He's like a wide receiver, wildcat quarterback, kind of.
What year is he?
He's a year younger than you.
Oh, okay.
He was drafted this year.
The Jags took him in the second round.
What is his name again?
Laviska Shenault. He has become, you know, no one will ever top Patrick Laird in the Davis and Peter Colt hero rankings, but Laviska Shenault is in the second pole position now.
So, I didn't know his name. I mean, I know just from college, I studied the defense that we were playing better or more than the offense, but I remember him. He's a grown ass man, I'd say.
He made that absurd catch in his highlight reel, Pete. It was against Cal.
Yeah. If I will say, Patrick, so there's a thing, I've been doing lots of streams and people get really excited when we draft Laviska Shenault. I have a hype reel of Laviska Shenault, and it's only in play if someone on the stream drafts him. So if at some point tonight you do want to take Laviska, I can roll the hype video in here. Just putting that out on the table.
What's the quarterback situation looking like in Jacksonville? It's gonna be Minshew.
Gardner. Yeah. Their backup quarterback. You might have be familiar with him. He was Oregon State's quarterback, Jake Luton.
Yeah,
I think he was like a 6th round pick. So they don't have a ton of quarterback depth behind Minshew.
Minshew's the man.
He's the man.
I like Laviska with Minshew thrown to him. But honestly, I don't know. Do we trust? What's the idea behind drafting rookies? Don't you want to wait a while to do that?
See, you are a fantasy analyst.
Yeah, you literally, Pat, I think you've been listening to fantasy podcasts in your downtime.
That's just common sense, though, because there's the greatest athletes in the world in college, and they can come to the NFL, and they just don't adjust well, and that's part of the game. So that's a tough transition for everyone.
Yeah, the thing that we definitely agree. The interesting thing, though, is some of these guys are stepping into really big opportunity where the Jags don't have really any other wide receivers to be a serious threat to his kind of target share out of the gate. Plus, we've seen some shirtless photos of him in camp, and he seems like a grown ass man. So I don't really have any more concerns at this point.
All right.
What
do we think about Cooper Kupp?
Cooper Kupp is solid.
We like Cooper Kupp.
Okay.
Cooper Kupp was interesting last year because he had a really monster first half of the season. I always remember the game in London. He went off for like 2 touchdowns, 200 yards. And then he was really quiet the last half of the season. Robert Woods and Tyler Higbee kind of became the number one and number two there. So I don't know what Davis thinks. I think people are a little kind of confused about his tale of two seasons a little bit.
Well, they shifted their base personnel basically mid-season. They started playing way more 12. They started playing Josh Reynolds over him because he was a stronger run blocker. And even our boy Johnny Munt was playing some snaps. Cooper Kupp was going from like playing 80% of their offensive snaps to like 50%, which is not great.
I'm just thinking about the perception of everyone watching or listening in on my knowledge on all this, and I want everyone to know I did zero research before coming to this. I was just going to rely on Peter and Davis to help me out. So
I promise you, no one is judging you for being someone who has a life and doesn't know all of this stuff.
At this point, now I think I know more defensive players in the NFL than I do offensive players.
Well, good, because we don't know any defensive players, so that's pretty useful.
I think that's my advantage over you guys. I think we could talk some question do a live, because maybe I'll stumble, but
one development: the two tight ends that Davis and I were eyeing for you, Mark Andrews and Zach Ertz, have gone. So we're going to have to go late round tight end.
Okay, it's not worth selecting early now. It's just load up on receivers.
Yeah. So after those first four guys go, there's a huge drop off in projected fantasy points from Andrews, Ertz, and then it goes to Darren Waller for the Raiders, Evan Ingram for the Giants, the aforementioned Tyler Higbee for the Rams. There's a big drop. And Pete and
What about Gesicki? What do we think about Gesicki?
I was just getting ready to get to him. Pete and I are big proponents of your teammate, Mike Gesicki.
But you still think I can wait? And
you can wait on Mike.
You can wait for a long time to get him. He is he doesn't go in like the top 100 players.
We're on the clock.
I think we take Jonathan Taylor here. I think Jonathan Taylor's slam dunk here.
I was worried about this.
That's a rookie.
Yeah,
you want to talk grown men.
I was going to advocate for Terry McLaurin before he went. I do think it's justifiable to go Jonathan Taylor and then what? Probably DJ Chark?
Chark or Metcalf?
Yeah.
We're going away from zero RB.
I don't want to for ideological reasons.
Yeah.
But this is like two rounds later than Jonathan Taylor goes in most drafts, Patrick.
Okay. So
we're it's like we're buying a cheap stock.
We just became we went from ideological drafters to value-based drafters. I hate everything about my draft right now.
Why make draft picks based on what the value is?
It's a good question.
It's cheap now, but you're saying it's cheap now. Let's get my next pick first.
I lean DJ Chark here, another grown-ass man in Jacksonville.
I mean, we want to talk grown men. Is there a growner man than DK Metcalf?
That's true.
I don't care, though. They're the same to me.
I do like Mr. Unlimited in Seattle, so I'm going to go with DK Metcalf.
Okay.
There we go. You've given one to Pete and one to me.
Let's go back to that. So your justification for me selecting him was like, in other leagues, he'd be gone by now. So why does that make him worth a pick in this one? Because the perception of other.
So Davis, the point would be that he, in high stakes leagues where lots of money is on the line, he goes earlier, so it's just kind of a wisdom of the crowds thing. Are we assuming that that market is a little bit more efficient and that price is more realistic of his true value than a home league with Patrick Laird's buddies? I would think would be the thesis there.
Yeah.
Okay. Not sure if I buy it. Experts aren't always right, but you know.
So I'm going to get slammed. I already get repeatedly slammed for being a zero RB fraud. And now this isn't going to help my case anymore. That said, I will say about Jonathan Taylor is from a prospect profile, he's like the most well-rounded prospect since Ezekiel Elliott, as far as what he offers from both the rushing and pass catching upside. And in previous years, we've seen those running backs go top five in the NFL, like Leonard Fournette and Ezekiel Elliott. But as the league continues to kind of devalue running backs a little bit more in the draft, he slips to later in the, what was the early second round, Davis?
Yeah.
So to me, to Davis's point, you're getting like a really high pedigree running back talent much later than you normally would. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is another rookie, and he's going in the first round of drafts. And a lot of people think, rightfully so, that Jonathan Taylor is even a better just pure running back prospect than him. So that's probably where you're getting value relative to kind of perception in the team.
And that's okay. That.
Argue from authority, but we'll see.
I mean, trust me, it killed me on an ideological draft.
Laird was ready to go like full, like starting Nyheim Hines as his second running back, and we just talked him out of it to win, to maybe get like a round of value in a free league from Jonathan Taylor. I regret it immediately.
Can the record show that I wanted to do an ideological draft and Davis forced us into Jonathan Taylor? I just want that on the record.
Yeah, Brother Pete, I think we can put that on the record. I think that's okay.
that's on the record.
We had just about radicalized Patrick, and now we're confusing him by telling him to, okay, he can draft a running back in the late fourth.
Yeah, but only when that running back can score like 15 touchdowns. That's the only time you want to do it.
You don't know if he's really going to do that.
We don't.
You don't know what any of these guys are really going to do for real.
That's true. And this is all. How much of fantasy do you think is luck?
A lot. A lot.
Yeah,
I guess like really test it because it's, you know, two professionals versus a bunch of guys that are just playing for fun.
But like, give you an idea. So there's these things called best ball drafts where you can draft them and then you don't have to manage them. So, you know, for people like you who are busy, it automatically puts your best players each week in the starting lineup. So you get the fun of drafting without, you know, having to manage it. And so people have done studies on those to see like at what clip the best drafters win. So obviously if you're in a 1 in 12 chance, that alone is a little more than 8%. And even the best drafters in these best ball contests are winning between like a 15 to 17% rate. So they're literally just doubling their chances by being a good drafter. And yet they're still only winning less than 1/5 of the time. So there's an edge, but you need to play in lots of leagues to realize that edge. In one random league, you might not.
How many leagues are you guys in?
Oh God.
So David. I do a lot of those best ball drafts that Pete was talking about where you draft and then you forget it. So, I mean, I've probably done like, I want to say like 250, maybe, I don't know. A lot of leagues though.
250 in one season.
One season.
So go back and look at that, do you?
This is one draft applet, those best ball ones, 92 drafts on just this one site that I may or might not, full disclosure, be an investor in.
Pete is an investor.
But no, Davis has even done more drafts than I have. I mean, we've done, but those ones are the best ball drafts that we were saying where we don't have to manage those. In season, there's no time commitment. Whereas a league like this, you got to go in, you got to pick yourself up off of waivers, you got to put yourself in the starting lineup. Like that takes time. I would say for me, I'm probably going to end up being in like 15 of those kind of leagues.
15?
And that's way too much. I know.
Oh my gosh.
It's a lot. We commit ourselves to a lot. Now you have to remember, Pat, there was nothing to do for a long time. There was nothing to do, right?
Yeah. Okay, so I get the best ball thing. So that's fine. I mean, well, I guess I don't really get it because I don't know if you need to do it anytime.
Because you're a well-balanced person with friendships and relationships and you care about, you know, people around you. Yeah.
You guys are both in relationships, so you can't give me that.
Well,
at what point though are you like confused on like who you're cheering for? Like if you have let's say you have 15 teams and Jonathan Taylor scores a touchdown for you to win in one of your leagues, but then you don't have him in another league, and if he scores a touchdown, then you lose that week, you know, the matchup that week, then what are you cheering for?
Well, I can't speak for Pete, but what I root for on Sundays is are my DraftKings teams, like my daily fantasy teams. That's what I spend my Sundays, you know, paying the most attention to. And then most of the time, Sunday night when all the games are over, I will go and check all of my seasonal matchups and everything after that. I bet Pete's probably similar.
Yeah, so but you're just further confusing Patrick. He goes, how do you care about this subset T that David
adding
my beer? I actually care not about any of these in this other group of teams. I will say what I do, Patrick, is, and I would bet Davis is the same, I think of it as like a portfolio. I know I have Laviska Shenault on a bunch of my teams, so I'm rooting for him a lot. Or I have a bunch of teams with DK Metcalf, so I'm generally rooting for him. And the other thing I don't do is I never look at who my opponent has, because that way I don't even have to do the mental gymnastics. I just know
I'm rooting for these guys, and sure, there's going to be some conflicts of interest, but I don't have to pollute my brain with that.
Gotcha. Okay, I guess that makes sense.
But to, you know, and again, I agree with Davis too, the daily fantasy where it's just for that day's games, the Sunday games, that's normally where we have more money invested and care about more. And you realize that return right away. Or in my case, you realize those losses right away. Whereas these leagues, you know, whatever your buy-in is, you're not going to win or lose or know until, you know, the end of the season, whether you're making money.
Yeah.
So
we're not even allowed to, like, NFL players, we're not allowed to do like the daily fantasy stuff.
Right.
We can only do like this type of fantasy thing. And there's like some amount of money you can play for, but I think, I don't know. I don't think guys play for that much or anything at all. Or maybe some guys do. That, but you know, we're not like, we're allowed to do this, but we're not, you know, you can't bet obviously on games, but, and we can't do the daily fantasy thing.
All right, I'm looking at the board here, and I bet I can guess the two players Davis is going to recommend.
100%. You can?
Oh, but one just went.
No.
Oh, you weren't going to suggest Gallup?
No. Well, he would have been the third.
Okay. I think there's one I know for a fact. He just went too.
No, you're wrong again.
You weren't going to suggest Fuller?
Oh, I thought Gibson just went. Yeah. Fuller and Brown were the two.
Okay. Well, Davis and I are definitely on board. So Marquise Brown is exciting.
So get him.
Yeah, get him. And then Boyd, probably.
I would probably go Diggs, but I like Boyd as well.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Diggs is way more of a baller.
I think with this team, like Boyd can be like a volume guy, but Diggs is going to have probably chances at more big plays for you.
And then how would I know each week who to choose? Like between Diggs.
We'll figure that out for you.
We'll figure it out, you know.
So Diggs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember when I told you I had about 15 teams to manage? Make that 16.
Yeah. I appreciate it. I'm just adding more to your.
Nothing would make me happier than winning Laird's league for him with Jonathan Taylor in the fourth round.
Laird, tab over on the roster there. It has like the first guy team over or tab over to yours right there so we can see your roster so far. There we go.
Saquon,
pretty sick draft, Pete.
This team's filthy.
Is it good?
Yeah. Okay. It's really good.
If Pete and I were in one of our high stakes leagues and we got this team, we would just be doing self-congratulatory high fives all night long.
you can't get this team in any league. Except this one.
Yeah, it's true.
Do you have any of your own takes on Marquise Brown or Diggs? Familiar with those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think Marquise Brown had a huge game against us last year. I'm not mistaken.
Oh, he did. He did indeed have a huge game against you. He had 140 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah, so we're not playing them this year. so I'll root for him. But we, you know, we are playing Diggs twice.
Ooh, that, you're right. I forgot about that.
Supposed to draft the Bills player. So if there's any Dolphins fans out there, I apologize. But it was really Davis and Peter selecting him. But no, he's obviously a really good player. So it'll be interesting to see how he does with the new quarterback. Not that the Bills have a new quarterback. I'm saying like just going from you know, the Vikings to the Bills.
Patrick, click on where it says all positions. Click over and see the quarterbacks that are available. I just want to see who's gone so far.
So, yeah, when are the quarterbacks supposed to get drafted?
Well, I was going to see if Mr. Unlimited was still there for you if he slipped, but he's gone.
No, that's why we're able to get all these wide receivers is people are gobbling up the quarterbacks.
Someone just took Josh Allen.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's one.
What's the idea behind that? Just he's a good runner. I mean, obviously – has good weapons on the team too.
Yeah, running quarterbacks tend to be the best investments in fantasy football because most quarterbacks kind of are able to throw for like in between 12 and 18 fantasy points on kind of any given week. But the running is just a cheat code because you get 1 point for every 10 rushing yards, the same way it is for running backs. Yeah. And so if you run for 40 yards and a touchdown, you know, that's good, but it's not like spectacular, but that's a huge boost for quarterback scoring.
Right. Okay.
So another thing that's become, it's not necessary for a 12 team league like this, but it opens you yourself up to a little higher variance and higher ceiling is stacking. So getting a quarterback who is on the same team as one of the wide receivers you already drafted, the thought being, instead of having to guess right on two situations, like, okay, the Falcons quarterback situation with Matt Ryan and then the Seahawks with Metcalf, you go, I'm going to take Tom Brady, because if Tom Brady has a great season, Mike Evans most likely will too, and vice versa. So it's a way to it lowers your floor a little bit, but it also can raise your ceiling, and it can kind of be fun to hone in on a specific team and stack to root for.
Yeah, that makes sense. Out of the quarterbacks left, what do you guys think? What about Aaron Rodgers as a fantasy quarterback? What do you guys think?
That's a real lightning rod, Pat.
Yeah, what's that?
You know, people in our snarky internet circle, we're not huge fans of Aaron Rodgers. And also, if we really want to go there, Aaron Rodgers ran my first friend in the NFL out of the league, and I've never forgiven him for it.
Really?
Yeah. Do you remember the Packers-Cardinals playoff game where Jeff Janis had 101 yards on the same drive and caught like a 55-yard Hail Mary?
No, I don't remember that. How long ago was that?
Would have been 2013 playoffs, I believe. 2015 playoff.
Yeah, no, I don't remember that one.
Well, basically, I became buddies with this guy, Jeff Janis, who played for the Packers, and Rodgers basically just kind of bullied him, and he got cut, and he was amazing. He was so good.
And this was after he hadn't played all season, and he came into this game, caught that game-winning touchdown, and he was just an absolute athletic animal.
He never started a game for the Packers after that. So he caught that playoff touchdown and never started a game for them after that.
I don't know much about the story.
No, but to the actual the nuts and bolts. So, you know, Rodgers definitely wasn't as good last year. He has Devontae Adams, who's incredible, but then he has kind of cycled through all of these other options. The team hasn't invested. You know, they drafted a backup quarterback, his future replacement, instead of taking one of these stud wide receivers in this draft. So there seems to be a little tension between him and the front office and what the team's trying to do. And they drafted AJ Dillon, another running back, to go along with Aaron Jones. And it kind of signals to us that they want to run the ball way more. They want to use Devontae Adams, and that might mean Rodgers just isn't a great fantasy quarterback ever again.
Gotcha. All right, well, I really want to support a Cal guy, but I'm going to trust your guys' fantasy.
Oh, player. I forgot.
Oh, I forgot about
it. Hey, we can take Jared Goff as well.
We like Jared.
But let's
take Rodgers, bud. Let's get our Cowboys. Come on, wait, take Rodgers.
Look who my auto pick is. You see this?
No, no. Get Jordan Howard off of there. Go back to the full positions, Patrick. We have 40 seconds. I want to see who else is there other than the quarterbacks.
Okay. Oh, look at the top.
Who's the top? What a needle. Howard and Breida. So I love Christian Kirk, but
yeah. Or Preston Williams.
They're letting all the Dolphins fall to you.
Fins up.
He smashes Preston. Love it.
Fins okay. Up.
What about Gesicki here?
Oh yeah, go to tight end.
Yeah, we want Gesicki.
We're gonna go.
Gesicki's there. I think you gotta lock him up.
Yeah, you gotta take Gesicki.
People are gonna think I just drafted my team now.
No, you drafted all the good players.
I did. I mean, those are good options.
Okay, this is what I've been wanting to ask you about all night.
Jordan just got picked up. Okay.
Mike Gesicki in practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much is he playing as like a straight inline tight end, and how much is he playing as like a slot wide receiver?
I'd like to keep my job, so I'm not going to reveal.
Oh, so brutal.
Any strategic or any of that type of information, can't do it.
The beat writers aren't allowed to do it either.
They're not. Yeah. What do you guys look into the rules on that and like what they're allowed
to do? So some teams have made it that you can. but a lot of teams have made it that any information on like, oh, they were in 12 personnel, oh, this guy was playing over this guy, you can't say anything like that, but you can be like, this guy looked good, or this guy fumbled, or whatever, but like personnel information and stuff, you can't act like, for a lot of teams, you can't actually say.
Interesting.
But Davis was ready to have you risk your entire career just to get a little nugget about Gesicki there.
I'll say Gesicki has been playing well, and he's a great teammate. That's what I'll say.
He's also literally the largest person I've ever seen in person. And to make it even further, his entire family, Patrick, they are all giant people.
Really?
Yeah. When we were waiting to meet you after that Giants game, Gesicki was there to meet his family. And just all Davis and I did for why we were waiting for you was just like, wow, Gesicki and his family is tall. Like, wow.
They were like,
see how tall they are?
They were in the corner of the room and they were so big. A whole clan.
In my family, I'm like one of the shorter ones. All the guys are taller than me. My dad's like 6'4", and my brother's like 6'3".
Me too, Pat. Me too.
I'm like the short one.
I kind of yeah.
But you're the professional athlete, so you win.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Oh, I was just saying, my dad's 6'5", but my mom's 5'2", so I kind of ended up splitting the difference between them.
Okay, that's not bad.
I was going to ask you, what are your, like, so when you guys go to New England, like, what are your protocols for, like, you know, coronavirus protections? Are you guys just, like, on lockdown in the hotel? What's that like?
So, yeah, I believe we're not allowed to leave the hotel. In the past, you were allowed to go if you wanted to, like, go grab dinner in whatever city you were staying in. You can meet with family and friends if they were there the night before a game. So none of that, I believe none of that's allowed now. I believe we just have to eat dinner and hang out with the team the night before, which honestly is like what I did half the time, pretty much. I went out to one dinner with some teammates before a game last season, and I ended up paying like $100. And I was like, that is way too expensive for dinner. I'm going to go up to the region to just stay in the hotel from now on. And so now,
does the team pay for dinner when you stay in the hotel?
Yeah, so like it's like kind of like the hotel like, style, or like it's kind of like it's somewhere like just like our team dining room. I don't know. It's like we have one of those big conference rooms. It's like our team dining room, basically.
What if you get room service? You have to pay for that.
Yes, room service, or if you like rent a movie, you have to pay for all that.
Well, these new rules are really kind of thwarting my plan. I guess I'll come down to the hotel with a few rocks and a boombox and just try to get your attention from down below.
Yeah, but the fines this year and all that stuff is like very serious. So I hope no one's really is going to violate all that, because it's not worth it to even see someone for 5 minutes.
No, we got to keep you guys in lockdown and on the field.
Yeah.
I think literally every time we've podcasted together, Pat, at some point you've made a comment of like, this was way too expensive and I didn't want to spend the money. Like literally, I think every time you've been like, oh man, I'm not trying to spend money like that. I want to save my money, which is just very funny because it's one, not something I would associate with professional athletes, but two, also myself, I'm like, I'm the worst saver of all time. So I just don't identify.
For me, I think just since I was a little kid, I've been more inclined to be more frugal rather than spend, but my girlfriend would like me to spend a little bit more money when we go out. But I've gotten better recently. I've gotten better. I'm not.
Wait,
like,
you even when you go out to dinner, like you've already made the commitment to go out to dinner, and you still order the cheapest thing on the menu after the dinner commitment.
That was a very common thing for me to do. But I promise I've loosened up a little bit. Like, and for me it's like, okay, like if I'm gonna go out to eat, some people, you know, if it's like you get $24 for some, I don't know, whatever, or you can pay like $12 for a chicken sandwich. Like the chicken sandwich tastes better than, you know, all the expensive stuff. So I always got the chicken sandwich. Okay. That's how I used to think. Now it's like, okay, I'll go, if I'm gonna go out to eat, I'm gonna enjoy myself, I'm gonna have a good time, and I'll pick what I really want, and but it's taken me a little while to get there.
There you go.
Well, I'm glad you've got there.
Let's we're going to circle back to the other ways Patrick Laird is frugal, but let's go to the all positions here. We got to see what we're working with here on the 10-11 or 11-12 turn, is it? 10-11. Should we check the quarterbacks?
I mean, I figured with Preston and Gesicki, we probably just wait to take Atomic Fitzabbott. I do
That's such a good name.
I do like Carson Wentz a lot, though. I'm a big Carson Wentz guy.
Even as a Cowboys fan.
The biggest thing about me is I'm a very fake Cowboys fan, but okay. Wentz is good, man. Wentz, like, if you just look at a lot of the stuff he's had to do in the NFL, like, he was out there in a must-win Week 17 game throwing passes to, you know, undrafted free Greg Ward, you know, converted college quarterback. Like, they Philadelphia has asked him to do a lot, and he has mostly come through.
I caught you almost saying undrafted free agents disparagingly, but
we love undrafted free agents, dude. We love undrafted free agents on the State Cast.
I take no offense.
Speaking of undrafted free agents, after I think Wentz is a good pick here. I wouldn't mind going to see if Philip Lindsay's available.
Ooh.
Oh, Lindsay is great here.
Love Philip Lindsay.
Probably looks like he might be gone. It looks like the secret's out.
Tony Pollard. Easy selection.
Tony Pollard. If Zeke goes down, Tony Pollard is probably a top five fantasy running back in the league, the entire league. And
yeah,
he might catch some passes right out of the gate. But you don't need to start him when you have Barkley and Taylor.
Okay,
and that's why we took Taylor. So if we had not taken Taylor, we'd have to take Nyheim Hines here.
Well, if we hadn't taken Taylor, we would have taken a running back,
Lindsay
Williams. Yeah, we would have gone. Yeah. We would have reached for Lindsay.
But we went fins up, dude. We got Preston and Gesicki.
This team is sick, Pat.
Yeah,
good team.
It's a really good team.
We're very ready for you to win your league.
So we're drafting depth now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
and obviously. Our last two picks will be a kicker and a defense. And then, so we have three more picks to fill this out. And I would say if an exciting tight end were to fall, I think we could grab him. But otherwise, Davis, I would say we're probably mostly running backs on the bench here.
Yeah, this is kind of the meat and potatoes of zero running back drafting, Pat, is we get into this range and we all have our favorite backup running backs that we think can either play themselves into a larger role throughout the course of the season, or, you know, were an injury to happen in front of them, they would be able to perform very, very well after the event of the injury.
Okay.
Patrick, which is why we just took Tony Pollard.
Any bid equity to taking yourself in the last round?
It'd be for your guys' podcast.
there's no personal bid equity. You're not going around the locker room being like, you guys won't believe who I took in the last round of my draft.
Has Miles Gaskin, has he been taking any of your deep leagues?
He hasn't.
No. Perry is the guy that people like.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, not after Patrick Laird raised his eyebrows to that. ADP is about to move. Everyone said Gaskin had a great camp.
Oh, Miles has been playing really well. Everyone in the running back room has honestly been playing well, except for me. Look at that. There's a Q near my name.
Q is
questionable. Because of your shoulder injury, bud. Wow, this is inception right here.
They got your mispractice there. Look at these points just on the rise. Just looks like a Bitcoin graph right there.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's the offseason. Get this offseason graph out of here. Go back. Go down. Add him to the queue. I was just saying, there's our New York Giants game we went to.
Oh, I will slam the over on 10.7 projected fantasy points. Take the over.
Is that season or is that?
They only have you projected to score 10 fantasy points this season.
Do you want
to
call out Mike Clay right now, Patrick? Call out Mike Clay. He's the one who did that projection. Give him a piece of your mind.
Who comes up with these? Is that a computer?
No, this guy, Mike Clay.
Well, you got to feed the data into the computer.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, who do we like?
Let's see here.
Visca.
Ooh. Well, oh, yeah, we do need to do Visca, but also Boston Scott would be a nice pick.
Yeah, we are contractually obligated to select LaVisca Chenault, though, Pat.
Still available?
He better be.
He will be available? Yeah.
He has to search.
L.A.
Oh, yeah. I say we go Boston Scott LaVisca here at this turn.
Yeah, I agree.
So Boston Scott, kind of similar to Tony Pollard, was really good down the stretch last year. Miles Sanders been a little banged up. They haven't brought in any of these free agent running backs. So if Miles Sanders misses any time, I mean, it's going to be Boston Scott show. So he's a nice contingent value pick here.
Gotcha. You guys just have all these strategies and reasons just ready to go.
Not a lot of sex happening around these parts, Patrick.
it's been a long quarantine, Pat.
You guys excited for football?
Oh, yeah, man.
I'm going to be really excited for it until I think about 3:35 in the afternoon on Sunday, and like something will have gone wrong. Some guy I really like will have gotten injured, and I'll just be really upset. It's normally how it goes.
What is your level of butterflies, excitement, feeling heading into the season after all of the off season?
I'm pretty excited. Our team is, you know, stayed pretty healthy throughout camp, so I'm pretty, you know, stoked about that. And it's just gonna, like, a lot of what the coach has been saying, I think everyone, you know, outside of football as well, you know, without the four preseason games, you don't get a lot of the early kind of, you know, hiccups out of the way. So it's gonna be interesting to see you know, which teams were able to, you know, replicate what it's like to play in a game early on and go over all those situations, which I hope we've done a good job of so far.
I love that you have yourself in the queue right now.
No, how do I get that out of there? Where's the
queue? You gotta just take search for LaVisca.
No, hit draft next to Boston Scott. You have him up in the top left.
Oh, right there. That's what I'm
doing. And now you gotta search for LaVisca. And I'll hit you with the people will be very excited here.
The people are gonna lose their minds for this hype reel.
Okay, we'll support the Pac-12.
Here it goes. Patrick Laird, ladies and gentlemen, just drafted LaVisca Chenault. It is, Patrick, the new addition to your squad.
I love it. I love the pick. LaVisca, I'm sorry I wasn't able to, like, recognize your name right at the top, but I do remember watching the play. He's a beast. He's a really good player, man.
Man, the people, when they hear that Patrick Laird drafted LaVisca Chenault, I mean,
ADP is going up like a rocket ship.
Oh, man.
Maybe I should hide this message. I don't know what people. Oh yeah, it's probably.
Wait, hey God, it would be. I saw someone say if Laird drafts Jordan Howard, and I really wanted to read the rest of that message. Here, this is what I'm going to do, Patrick. I'm going to cut away from this full screen. You can check the messages. The people can't see it right now.
Okay, just to make sure. Oh, it's super generic. Where's the?
We need the people tilting you taking Preston Williams.
Oh, they're trying to use my picks to, like, give them more information than other stuff.
They're putting more weight on those Dolphins picks?
Yeah, like if Laird takes Jordan Howard here, I'm taking Howard in all my other leagues.
There you go.
So for people asking why I didn't, or they're wondering why I didn't take him, I didn't take him because I took your guys' advice. So my decision. I love Jordan, and I think he's going to do really well this season.
You're such a diplomat.
Someone said, is anyone going to draft that white running back from Miami?
I think we have to. I think the bid equity is too good. Super we can obviously drop him Laird, if we have to, we can drop you if we need to.
We can churn you on the waiver wire, Patrick.
I think we're going to, like, we don't need to draft me. No one's going to select me, but I want to go back to our first pick. There was a couple comments on the first pick.
I bet there were. What are they all?
All right. I said, wow, Laird, respect, though, anyone but Stanford. And they spelled Stanford
knew it.
With the
they
U.
They knew your the reasoning. And if you were in the chat, you would have let them know. But also, regression to the mean.
Regression to the mean. We can't give away our strategy. All right. Messages are...
They're off. You're back in a safe space.
Okay.
All right. So we have only three more players, and two of them are kicker and defense.
Who do we got to like take Harrison? We got to take Harrison Butker.
Oh, I'm on the way. Oh, no.
Who is your guy's kicker, Pat?
Come on, Jason Sanders.
Jason Sanders.
Fins up.
Got a touchdown last year. You get points for that as a kicker?
Yes. Yeah. In this league, you would.
Okay.
So we got to draft the boy.
Am I drafting Jason? How much time do you guys spend studying kickers and all that?
I actually do look at it a fair bit, because these leagues that Peter and I play in for the most amount of money actually require you use a kicker.
What do you mean actually require?
Like most fantasy football leagues at this point you do not have to use a kicker at all. But there are some holdouts.
And when you say a lot of money, do you guys ever share like the pots of these leagues? Or is that
Pete and I have, well, it's all publicly available. It's this website called FFPC.com, which stands for Fantasy Football Players Championship. They do a contest called the Main Event, which is $1,900 to enter and $500,000 for first place.
All Patrick Laird heard was just like, holy cow, that's like 200 chicken sandwiches right there.
Do you know that $1,900 is more than my rent? So
it's also more than my rent.
So is there any prize for second, third? Like
you can get your money back. Depending on how it plays out, you can get your money back as late as, I believe, fourth, Pete.
Yeah. And the way these work is there's your individual 12-team league, just like you're in right here, and you get prizes for that. But then if you advance from that, you're one of the top teams in your individual league, you go into a pool with all the other best teams from all the other divisions, and there's, you know, hundreds of divisions. And then the winner of that, and you have to get insanely lucky over a 3-week stretch, the winner of that wins $500,000. So there's, and that's where some of those, dare I say, ideological draft strategies really come into play, because you're not only trying to beat your other 11 league mates, you're trying to beat a field of, you know, a couple thousand teams or even way more than that. So that's when you start doing more stacking, more ideological, hyper-fragile type of drafting strategies. But for this, in an 11-team, 12-team league, you don't need to get too cute, too out of the box.
Is it possible, I'm guessing they have some way against this, but like to get like 12 people together to like collude and let one person have like the ultimate fantasy team, and then they win all season and they get put up? And
so, one, it would be very hard to round up what would it $19,000 worth or more than that, like $21,000 worth, to get that all figured out, to put in a basically a crapshoot where you still wouldn't be, you know, guaranteed to win. But then also it actually happened this year where a guy got stuck on auto draft with his queue full of quarterbacks, so he drafted like 13 quarterbacks and they just canceled the draft, refunded everyone, and rescheduled it.
Gotcha.
And they also, Patrick, for these the $1,800, $1,900 buy-ins, they have a moderator from the FFPC and everyone. So if there's like any funny business, they will kind of immediately flag it. And I even saw earlier this offseason, there was one weird draft where someone was making weird picks, and they ended up refunding those entries because they were worried about it, to your point, throwing off the integrity of the entire contest.
Yeah. So are you in it with random people, or do you know most of the people in your league?
Not in the league, but like Davis and I have been doing drafts together where we co-manage, and so we do the drafts with friends and stuff like that.
Gotcha. But like for that big one though, for the $1,900 buy-in.
the 1901 I'm co-managing with my friend Pat Crane, who Davis and I are buddies with, and Davis is doing some with friends as well. But in your league, it can generally be strangers, although some of them know us from Twitter. Patrick, I think for the bid equity, you should take yourself.
You got to take yourself, bud.
I can't do it. Let's get a good kicker.
Okay, take Greg Zuerlein.
You're just saying that because you're a Dallas fan.
They're going to score a lot of points.
You want kickers on good teams. He's conflicted.
No, he wants Jason Sanders.
Oh, Jason Sanders. You know who's really good at golf is Jason Sanders.
Really?
Yeah, he's really good.
Wow. Don't know about this.
I'm going to tell you, I'm telling him.
All right, let's get a defense and then we'll come back. Grab this undrafted free agent out of Cal.
So I can't do the Patriots.
The Colts?
The Colts.
Have a good week one matchup.
Who do they play?
The Jags.
The Jaguars.
Okay.
And then Patrick's like, well, curious, then why did you have me draft LaVisca
Chenault? LaVisca Chenault.
Watch LaVisca go off and then all right, and fine.
This team, you know, I'm willing to sacrifice the Colts defense on your fantasy team if it means LaVisca goes off week one.
I am also, because nothing would make me happier.
Patrick, look at my new memorabilia. I have a signed LaVisca Chenault Colorado Buffalo's helmet.
Really? How'd you get that?
So there was this fantasy podcast that was doing a charity raffle, and this was one of the items. And I asked them if there was just an amount of money I could pay to have it. And they said, no, you need to enter the contest like a normal person. But I ended up winning it anyway. So
how much did it cost?
Well, I put in like 8 entries of $15 each. So about 8 chicken sandwiches to get.
If it goes to a good charity, then I guess it's worth it.
Pat feels more comfortable than that, than ostentatious dinners.
All right,
wait, so how good of a golfer is Jason Sanders? Like, is he like a scratch golfer?
No, he's not scratch, but he's probably low 80s.
Who's the best golfer on the Dolphins?
The best golfer in the building is probably Dan Marino.
Okay.
Oh. I've heard he's a scratch golfer.
I totally buy that.
Yeah. On the team, it might be Jason, but I know Fitz is pretty good. He likes to golf.
How does Fitz ever have time to play? He's got like 13 kids, right?
He goes with his sons.
It's atomic Fitz habits. He's micro scheduled his day.
Oh, it's habit stacking of spending time with his sons and golfing.
Yep.
He
said his place in Arizona, there's a golf course like a couple minutes away. So,
tell us about, you showed us that picture of you chipping balls inside the Miami practice facility and that there was maybe a little contest that was brewing. Did that ever happen?
It didn't end up happening. But we would just go in there randomly and just set up like random targets, like tackling dummies, or there's like these little donuts that they use to tackle, and just try to chip inside that. But we never did, like Fitz and I never did a competition or anything. But like a lot of guys have gone in there with me, and I just brought a couple clubs and some golf balls, and we just chip around.
It looked like you had Dave Matthews Band playing on the overhead speakers. It looked like a pretty chill time.
That was actually a coach just lifting in the background. they've moved like some weight room stuff in the bubble. It's like in our bubble because obviously we can't have everyone in the weight room at the same time. So
yeah,
that was someone. I can't take credit for the Dave Matthews Band. And you know what's funny is I sent that video to Fitz and he said the same exact thing.
It's because we both read Atomic Habits this offseason.
Teddy.
Teddy.
We got to go full screen here for Teddy.
Good boy.
Look at that face.
Teddy.
How does he like the Florida humidity compared to the California temperate climate?
At first he was struggling. Because they have like the short noses
Yeah, my dog, my big dog hates it in the summer. Like she like barely wants to go outside.
But he's gotten used to it so far. I mean, at first, when we would take him out, he'd breathe super heavy, and we were really safe. Like, only take him out for a couple of minutes for walks and stuff. But honestly, now we take him out more on like evening walks, but he's seems like he's adjusted pretty well, and doesn't pant as hard as he used to. So
yeah,
he likes it out here. He just likes to hang around people. So he's totally yeah. with hanging with my girlfriend and I in our apartment.
Does your mom miss him?
She does. She calls like all the time. And before she asks how I'm doing, she goes, "How's Teddy doing?"
Yeah.
I'm just imagining her calling to FaceTime Teddy, and you just like put the screen up and just let her Teddy talk for a little while.
That's pretty much what happens. What do you know about FaceTime though?
Too soon. Here's the thing.
It's even extra right now because we were trying to set this whole thing up and we couldn't even set it up because Peter was away from his Patrick Laird burner iPhone. So I've been having to like relay the text messages from our text thread to Peter individually.
We can just create a new group chat with the green messages.
Anything but that, dude.
I just want to point out how this backfired. So obviously our first podcast we did back in November, December, Davis was so excited to hold it over me that I didn't have the iPhone. He was going to be texting with Patrick. I was going to be left out in the cold. And what ended up happening is he's had to serve as a middleman and do all this extra legwork because it really backfired on you.
I just want you to convert. What I need to do is I need to talk to Lauren and we need to set it up as a Christmas gift for you to get an iPhone.
Here's the thing. So Android now has a thing called Duo, which is their version of FaceTime. So Lauren and I have been doing it's great. It's just like,
why do you need to Duo when she's just on the other side of a barn door from you?
Patrick, I haven't told you about this, but I did put a barn door in my office. So there now is a divider between church and state, kitchen and podcasting. You know, we've done that. Lauren's office, she's been in the bedroom up above there. So, you know, we'll get lazy. We'll just hop on Duo here, chat it up, figure out, get on the same page. Good to go. Technology's great. Android technology's great.
We're back up.
Do it. Look who's available.
Come on. You got it. You got to take Mr. Laird. Bit Look out. At that face.
Do it. And go to the messages.
I'll draft myself and then we'll see. But I'm not going to be able to read the messages that they send.
I'll go off and you can relay them. He did it.
Look at
this team, dude. I like the little headshots they show you here.
Yeah, this is the ESPN interface is cool.
Look at that team. We got some Eagles love. We got Dolphins love. We got my Florida love with LaVisca and Evans. A lot of grown-ass man love. Great. It's a great squad.
This is a good team.
It's really good.
Should I share on Twitter so people can make fun of me for selecting myself?
You should. People would love it.
No. We gotta save it for the
podcast. We gotta save it till tomorrow. You can tweet it. You can tweet it tomorrow. The number one rule this offseason for Pete and I has been you can't share a team on Twitter unless it has LaVisca Chenault on it. But you completed the mission. You drafted LaVisca, so you're allowed to share it.
The people are gonna be really hyped when they hear that you drafted LaVisca.
Of like the 37 people who are really true fans of Peter and I, this is going to be like catnip for them.
Well, our other buddy that I mentioned earlier, Pat Corain, his favorite player in the NFL is Ronald Jones. And I was saying to Davis and my buddy Patrick that we should go do a Florida tour where we go visit you in Miami, LaVisca in Jacksonville, and Rojo in Tampa Bay. Just a little Florida road trip.
That would be that'd be fun. It's a huge state, so that's like a lot of hours of driving. But
we'll just fire up the TakeCast archives, listen to all of Davis's greatest hits.
Well, we got to listen. I mean, Pete or Pat, you need to listen to the Jeff Janis episode so that you can. That's actually the first time an NFL player was on the show, and you can get the inside scoop on the deal with him and Rodgers.
Can you send that to me?
Oh, I'd love to. I'd love nothing more.
On everything on the podcast?
Not like everything, but it's, I mean, I don't want to brag, but it was big enough that it literally did actually make local Green Bay news. My podcast was referenced. It actually did.
No, because David, you're bragging about this, and Laird has like alarm bells going off of like, this might be a cautionary tale of things I say to Davis ending up on the local news.
Well, I would never do that to you, Pat.
During this and everyone that's listening, I tried to be measured and reasonable with my takes on different things.
No, you're out of control, man. You're a loose cannon.
You're one of the most measured and rational people I know, which it's great that you are intelligent, because if you were this rational and measured, but you were just like a normal guy, these podcasts would be so fucking boring. It'd be unbelievable.
The thing we have to work on is you just not measuring and rationaling your own food as you're trying to save money. That's what we got to work on.
My girlfriend has been trying to, she's been trying to change my habits for the last couple of years on that. So, but I have,
who does the grocery shopping between you and your girlfriend?
We go together, but probably, yeah, we go together. But honestly, like she just has to buy food for herself. Cause like I get most of my meals
from the team. I was going to say, does Laird cut coupons or like, are you specifically walking through and being like, oh, this is 2-for-1. Like we're going to get this instead of this because it's cheaper.
So I don't know if I'm allowed to really spill the beans on our relationship. She's sitting in another room. So maybe she won't listen to this anyway. So it's okay.
If she does, she won't get this far.
Yeah, that is 100% true. So one of the biggest I wouldn't say big arguments we have, it's like I take too much time in the grocery store. And so like I'll sit there and compare like yogurt prices.
Oh my God.
Like, and I do it with everything. Like it'll be like pasta and it'll be like, all right, this one's $2.29 and then this one's like $2.49. And like I'm like, but look, they're the same amount of ounces, like $2.29. And it's like, but she likes the brand of the other one. And that's something that we definitely, she doesn't like taking me to the grocery store too, because I don't know a lot of the things on the list. This is
you're just price sensitive. Yeah.
We go get arugula one time. And I didn't know where to find it at. I just don't know foods. I like to eat it, but I don't like to like shop for it or cook it.
So. Have any of your teammates roasted you for being so frugal?
No. So Miles Gaskin and I were talking about that today. Like we're both relatively like frugal and we're like, it's like a point. I think a lot of guys like that. You know what I mean? Like people.
Yeah. That's like a point of pride. Yeah, for sure.
There's obviously people like, I think there's some people that think they're frugal and they're not really, but yeah, I'd say now it's like almost like you're so aware of all those stories about guys blowing their money on stupid things. And now I think guys try to be smarter about it. And it's like it's a point of pride for some people.
I mean, there's so many tales of guys washing out of the league because they spent all of their money on arugula. I think it's really.
Yeah. They went and got the Barella band, the Barella brand pasta instead of the store brands. Yeah, I hate to see it.
Yeah. It can eat you out of house and home.
Did I tell you guys a story before about when I asked someone their dumbest purchase? And they said it was the alligator seats in their car. I tell you that story?
No.
Vaguely familiar? No, tell it.
Someone, I can't really say the name, but like they spent, I think it was like $35,000 or something stupid to get real alligator skin for all the seats in their car.
Wow. That and seems exactly.
That was the dumbest thing they ever bought.
Yeah.
It seems like a little much to me.
Yeah. But he was kind of self-aware about it because he's like, what do you think when you see someone drive down the street in like a super nice car? And everyone's like, I don't know. I think they're kind of like a prick, or I think they're kind of like, you know, what different answers. And then he's like, yeah. So like, what do you think people are going to think when they see you in a nice car? Like you don't need a nice car. And I like that point. So he kind of grew out of the idea that he had to have like a super nice car with alligator skin on the inside.
Did you have a car that you left there in the off season, or did you get a new car when you flew back out?
Yeah, I left my car.
Okay.
In the off season, and I borrowed my girlfriend's car back in California the whole time.
What's that?
She puts up with me, so if she won't listen to this, but I'm gonna tell her that I shouted her out because she puts up with me.
Yeah, I mean, what did she want? Does she want Instagram followers? Where do you want to plug? You know, get back in her good graces. Check her out in law school. Yeah,
she's on my Instagram, Bryce Bark. You guys can follow her, but I don't think she really cares about all that. Yeah, I don't know.
She's too down to earth.
No,
she's too down to earth, bro. I mean, maybe the next episode she could come on if she wants to.
Teddy not like that idea.
Yeah, Teddy's not in.
He's like, you are not putting her on this podcast.
I try to get her on, but I don't know if she wants to come on.
What does she think of it when you tell her, like, I'm doing a podcast with these bozos?
She thinks you guys are cool. She thinks you're funny.
Big sweat.
Yeah. But she doesn't want me to like call her in and just like,
yeah,
do a lot, you know what I mean? Like come in live and not expect anything. So,
I meant to ask you about the food stuff, not your food purchasing, but are you on like your own meal plan? Like, are you watching what you eat, or do you worry at all about that in season, or you just kind of do what your body needs?
We have weigh-ins on a weekly basis, but, and we have a dietitian that works with the team. And he, like, I just ask him questions on random stuff, but, you know, my body weight's solid, and we have a bod pod. You basically get your body composition and all that stuff. So if you're one of the guys that either needs to gain or lose, then you kind of interact with all that more. But if they like where you're at, then you kind of have more.
What happens when Devontae Parker walks into the bod pod? Does it just like combust because it can't handle how much of a grown ass man he is?
There are some guys on our team, I don't know specifically about Devontae, but some guys on our team have like 4.2% body fat. Yeah.
Big time same energy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Patrick, this is we helped you draft a winner, man.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to – maybe I'll just give you guys the password to my fantasy. No. I'm going to do it this year. I'm going to do it.
This was a question I wanted to ask. I had this one from before. When is the latest before the game that you check your phone, and when is the soonest after the game that you check your phone? And your answer is probably, again, going to be like, I don't know. I look at my phone when I look at my phone. What about for your most technology addicted teammate? What is your answer, your most technology addicted teammate's answer?
I mean, so before games, like if you're, most guys are listening to music, and so most guys are on their phone like 5 minutes before we head out. I'd say that's pretty much everyone, whether you're like, I mean, some guys are just kind of locked in listening to like, not, or like not listening to anything. Some guys just,
I feel like those guys are the warriors, like the guys who can get their adrenaline going, no music, nothing.
Well, that's you, Pat. You said you just listened to NPR podcasts right before you head out.
He listens to The Daily.
I switch it up a little bit, but mainly music before games. The Weeknd. I listen to The Weeknd before most games.
Nice.
Good plug for our friend The Weeknd.
Yeah, that's a random artist from high school that I used to listen to. But and then after the game, like pretty much after you shower, you're just like, you hop on the bus, and then when you're on the bus, people are just like talking to family and friends. So yeah. Within a few minutes.
Yeah.
So in other words, you could be making a waiver wire move at like 10 minutes before kickoff if you wanted to.
If I wanted to, but I probably wouldn't.
I wouldn't recommend it. I would leave that to Pete and I.
Yeah. We will keep you in the loop. I mean, the gross thing is in 2 months, granted, we'll talk about this team before then, but I guarantee if we went 2 months, you could ask Patrick or Davis and I, who is on your fantasy team? And I bet Davis and I could probably rattle off like 13 of the 16 players just after doing this draft. We will have an encyclopedic knowledge of your team, and we'll help you navigate this season.
I appreciate that.
To be fair, I could do that with any random team that I've drafted because I just draft the same guys every time.
That's what makes it easy.
Yeah. So you guys are selecting like right like 10 minutes before kickoff based on like who warms up and like who's cleared to play? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, because 90 minutes before they do the inactives, but, you know, Adam Schefter and Ian Rapoport, they'll tweet stuff like, Devin Singletary's hamstring is feeling tight, he's active, but the team thinks that Zach Moss is probably going to be a larger part of the plan today, and then you'd react based off of that.
Okay.
And that's more for DFS decisions where you're getting like way more in the weeds and you have the whole available player pool to you. Whereas on an individual team, like you're probably just going to have a decision. Am I playing Marquise Brown or Stephon Diggs? And it's like, yeah, it might be a hard decision, but
you're really only deciding between a couple of things. Whereas with DFS, you're trying to factor in the entire landscape. And then you also have to be price sensitive to that. So in Davis's example, if Zach Moss is like the minimum price, all of a sudden playing Zach Moss opens up all of these other plays for you that are have a more expensive salary. So like the dynamics of a slate change way more, way quicker in DFS than they do in your season long league.
Interesting.
Yeah. But you're not allowed to play DFS, and let the record show, Patrick Laird has never played DFS, nor will he ever play DFS.
Doesn't even have an account, and would never.
No. You guys are saying that as if like I've secretly told you that I do have an account, but
no, we're just getting no. We're getting our legal disclaimers in, Patrick. It's very important.
No, I appreciate it. Based on my questions on how that works, people could probably tell I've never played that. But
a great example of this was when we were watching the Miami Dolphins warm up against the New York Giants. I moved Devontae Parker into a bunch of my lineups because I simply could not believe how large he was. I wanted to take a picture next to him because I think it would have been like, you know, that photo of Gary Player and Yao Ming at the golf course. Pat probably doesn't. Pete's probably seen this before, but it's like, it's one of the most absurd things ever where it's like, these guys don't even look like the same species. And Devontae in his uniform and me in my regular street clothes would have looked like that photo.
There you go.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
That would have been me and Devontae.
That's a good one.
How about the one of Derrick Henry? Was it a...
Oh, yeah. Deion Lewis?
Deion Lewis. Yeah, that one's funny.
Yeah, that one's
pretty close. That one hits very close to home for me personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe two players standing next to each other have cost me more money than those two guys and their symbiotic relationship.
Don't worry, we're gonna get even with Darrington Evans this year. Yeah. It's good to have football back, man.
It feels great. Felt great to draft with brother Pat. Feels great to catch up.
And so this is the thing about the bid equity of you drafting yourself is it might not be realized right now, but it will be realized when you send Davis and I a text that says something like, should I drop myself for Benny Snell? Mm. Then the bid equity will be realized.
That's when it'll get interesting.
I mean, that's when it's like having to like measure your chance of like catching like five passes in a game versus like, I don't know, man, Benny Snell, he's looking good. Like, That's legit bet equity.
No,
that's very good.
Or the best would be, no, even better, is you just send us like the eye emoji and you're like, don't drop me.
Yeah, that's the issue, because if I play myself in a week, then that releases too much information, right?
Would you like to hear a great story about an NFL player playing himself in fantasy football?
Yes. Hmm.
This is the most told story ever. I'm sure Peter knows it, but it is our friend Matthew Berry loves to tell this story. Matt Hasselbeck was playing at this time for, I believe, the Seattle Seahawks. I'm not 100% sure of this team, but it's week 16. He's in his fantasy football championship. He has himself on his own fantasy team, and he also has, I want to say, Brett Favre in this anecdote, but again, I'm not 100% sure. Matthew tells it better than I do. And he chooses to bench himself, thinking like, you know, probably we're going to run the ball a lot today. You know, it's not going to be a huge day for us. Starts another quarterback. And on that day, he had one of the best games of his career, threw like 350 passing yards and four touchdowns. Well, he was on his own fantasy bench. And so that just proves no one knows anything. Literally not even the players know.
That is a great story.
It is very good.
No one knows anything. I like that.
No one knows anything. Never be too confident because no one knows anything at all.
Yeah.
Patrick, this has been a lovely time, as always. I think you're going to get off the schneid. Your last place days in fantasy are long over.
Thank you. I don't want to have to take out the trash anymore.
No taking out the trash for Laird.
And if Laird's league mates see this video, just know Davis and I know nothing, and there's plenty of people on Twitter who will back that up and tell you the same. And Patrick actually didn't have a competitive advantage, so we can win either way.
There's probably like a 0% chance, close to a 0% chance that my friends watch any or listen to any podcast that I'm on. So not too worried. They might see like some of the tweets or something, but again,
it's fine. But, it's fine.
Well, they're not paying attention to their own funeral then, because we're coming after them.
All the listeners, my friends used all like code names or pseudonyms for our draft thing, so no reason to look them up.
Don't try to cancel any of Pat's friends because they name their team Two Guys One Cup or something.
Yeah.
Patrick, this was an absolute blast as always. We will definitely have to circle back with you later in the season, update the fantasy team, see how things are going for you. I'm sure it'll be interesting to see what everything's like once you're traveling and all that jazz.
Yeah, definitely, we'll find a time.
All right, Davis, any final words?
You know, I'm just hope every day I hope and pray for COVID-19 to go away so that we can play golf with our Laird. I want to play golf with you guys so bad. It would truly be the best content.
I have an update for us. So Davis, Patrick, and I have been talking about golf this summer. I got a lesson last week, and I played 18 today, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I think my swing is close to being fixed. I've plugged a few leaks, a few big leaks.
Well, I'm going to see it. I cannot wait to get out and play golf again and play golf with you guys. We're going to find a time. It's going to happen at some point in the future. Probably.
I mean, look, Pete and I are just going to show up on your doorstep is what's going to happen. So I need you to mentally prepare yourself to get peer pressured into that for a weekend.
100%. I'm down.
All right, guys.
You heard it here first, guys. He said 100%.
There you go. Follow Patrick on Instagram. Follow the Miami Dolphins on Twitter. Watch them on NFL Game Pass. Any other plugs, Patrick?
You can follow my girlfriend too, but don't bother her. Her name's Bryce.
Follow, but don't bother.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Fins up. We drafted Laviska Shenault. This has been the Patrick Laird Fantasy Draft.